from Saxon, you listen to That Metal Interview. Come on!
Metal Interview. And so we welcome you once more, boys and girls, your friend James from the planet Earth, the state of Texas, in the US of A. And we have a legend with us here today on this episode, Mr. Biff Byford of Saxon, the great legendary UK band. And he is here to promote the band's brand new album, Hellfire and Damnation, which dropped January 19th of this year, 2024. You guys have full access to it. You guys can pick it up and check it out. So right now, let's listen to the title track, Hellfire and Damnation. Check it out. We'll be right back. true metal, a true melting of our faces as far as rock metal goes. That was Hellfire and Damnation. Let me read the song list here on this brand new album. The Prophecy, Hellfire and Damnation, Madam Guillotine. Check that one out. Fire and Steel, awesome title. There's Something in Roswell. There's a video for that, music video. You guys can check it out on YouTube. Kubla Khan and the Merchant. Pirates of the Airwaves. 1066. Witches of Salem. Supercharger. All those are badass songs. Not just the titles themselves, but I do give it a 10 out of a 10 as far as my review. And I did tell that to Mr. Biff Byford. My appreciation for this rock awesome collection of brand new songs from Saxon as they outdid themselves once more. And with them is Mr. Brian Tatler of Diamond Head. How awesome is that? Now you got to check him out if you haven't. So go out there and check him out on the road. They are coming to the U.S. So check out their socials and check out their website. So anyways, enough talking. Let's go directly to the interview with Mr. Biff Byford of Saxon. Enjoy. What part of the world are you at? Where are you?
I'm in Yorkshire in England at the moment in my studio.
Very cool. I saw your post. New album is at number one on the NACC charts. Congrats.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's really good. It's always good to be in the charts whenever yeah. You make an album. It's gone pretty high up in the charts and UK and Europe, but yeah, it's good for America. Definitely need to make some new fans and let everybody know we've got a new album coming out as well for our hardcore fans. Definitely.
Hellfire and Damnation, I give it 10 stars out of 10, Biff. It really kicks ass for sure. I love it from top to bottom. You guys just did an awesome job. Do you think this is the best? Is this the best one yet?
Yeah, I think we've created a bit of a monster with this one, definitely. I think it's probably our best one so far, definitely. It has got, there were some really magical things happen when we were writing, the circumstances of how we got to where we got with the album. So, yeah, we're really happy with this album, and it has something special on there. Some gypsy dust or something, or fairy dust on there, but it's cool. Like it.
No doubt. Awesome material. I heard the whole thing, of course, but when I press play on Madam Guillotine, oh man, that's just an awesome jam. Can you talk about that song?
Yeah, well, the song, me, Douglas, and Brian, wrote that song. It's something I've been wanting to do. Write a song about the liberty and the French Revolution, back in the day. And I wanted the chorus to be a bit more like Alice Cooper, a little bit sort of more theatrical. So, yeah, it really turned out well, that song. It's a great groove, and the chorus really gets in your head. Really does.
After so many albums and songs, Biff, is it difficult coming up with new stuff like melodies, riffs, lyrics, etc., or do you find it easy? Is it still easy, or do you find it difficult?
No, I don't think it's ever easy to write great songs, because you have to craft them, they have to be crafted, and it's like making anything, that's really great. You have to spend some time with it. It's never easy coming up with it. I mean, everything has to be in the right place at the right time, and people have to have the chemistry, and the inspiration has to flow from everybody. So, I think with this album, coming out of COVID, we had, a Carpe Diem. But I think this is the first album we've had where we, were able to sit down and say, let's try to write a great album, and we'll go on tour. Jewish Priest asked us to go on tour with them in Europe and the UK, which was perfect. So we had to get a move on and get the album finished. So I think the creative juices were flowing really big time on this album.
That's for sure. Which is your favorite track here?
At the moment, I would say Madam Guillotine is my favorite track. It's Yeah, it's really, really catchy, that track. You know, it's really turned out to be that sort of heavy metal with a melodic edge to it, you know. Really, really great.
How many new tracks do you guys plan on playing live and fitting the set list?
In the US, I would say 6, maybe 7.
Yeah. Wow.
We've played all the tracks live anyway, you know, before we recorded. So they all sound great live. I mean, there's nothing anybody can't play, you know. There's no computers in there doing anything strange, or
yeah.
You know, there's no we don't have like 100 voices on the choruses and things, so we don't intend having any sort of you know, backup going at the same time. So pretty much everything, you know, well, everything you hear is going to be live, so just like the album, really. So it's going to be cool.
Any ritual or what do you drink? Any vocal exercises before recording your tracks in the studio? Or do you just go in there and sing?
Yeah, I just go in and sing, really. Yeah, I'll sing along to, you know, some of our songs a bit, just to loosen up. But I don't do anything special. No, I just sing, basically.
How about on the road? How do you maintain your voice with all the traveling and sometimes lack of sleep? Or
you have to be careful that you don't party too much. It's easy to party too much because there's a lot of free booze. You know, there's a lot of time spent doing nothing, you know, hanging about. So you've got to look after yourself a bit. You know what I mean? You can't go too crazy. You can go crazy, but not every night, you know.
Right.
Let's go crazy on, you know, we tend to go crazy a bit on the days off, you know. The show before the day off is usually the party show, you know what I mean?
That's for sure, huh? You got to be careful, not too much partying and beer and stuff. You got to think of the next day, huh? Yep.
That's right. You got to think of the next day. And, you know, you got to try and sleep as well. You don't want to be getting up, you know, going to the toilet all night because you drink too much. So you got to be a bit, wise, and you got to be a bit respectful of your body as well. That's the main thing.
Speaking of tours, what's your favorite part of touring, Biff? Do you enjoy meeting fans, or what's your favorite part of touring? Maybe just traveling?
Yeah, I think the best bit, you know, once you get to the gig, you know, once you get to the show, well, we get to the show around 3-4 o'clock, you know, so you start meeting people outside, chatting, you know, people bringing autographs and things. So it all starts then, really, you know. You know, the band will probably get together for dinner, you know, before the show, most days. So, it's just like a regular routine that we have. You know, we'll arrive at the venue, meet some people, go in, you know, have some food, and then start sort of sound checking. So, but it's all about the show in the evening. That's the main thing, the show, you know.
Right.
And, you know, after the show, you can meet some people after. If people stick around to check you out, you know. So I think we're doing some meet and greets on this tour, so we'll probably get a chance to meet quite a few people, you know.
Very cool. Maybe I'll meet you here in Texas. I'll go check you guys out in San Antonio for sure. Yep.
We're waiting for Texas. Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's a great place for Saxon.
It's a music state, yeah, for sure. You got a lot of fans here in Texas, for sure, huh?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, Texas, I mean, all the cities that. Post San Antonio is probably the most you know, popular place, but it's been like that since 1980. You know, I mean, it's got down to the airplane we used to get there back in the day. Yeah,
I'm a guitar player, a local musician here in Texas. Nothing big, professional. But I'm curious, what do you guys sound check with, Biff? It varies, of course. Do you just call a random song, or do you call a new song, or what do you call it?
Well, what we usually do is. We'll probably start with the first song of the set, you know, so if we've got a play on or something, or, you know, we'll probably put that on just to the first song of the set. And then we'll usually ask, you know, if any of the guys want to go through anything, you know, is there anything the night before or that, you know, you weren't happy with, or you want to go through something, you know. And then we'll just, sometimes I'll say, you know, maybe we should play, I don't know, some random song one night, so we'll rehearse it, you know, we'll practice it and maybe throw it in the set that night. So we like to keep an open book on the set list, you know, so we can swap and change the songs whenever we feel like it. So, yeah, I mean,
wow.
You know, if we're doing new songs, for instance, if one of the new songs, you know, the audience aren't quite reacting to it like we want, then we'll change it up and put another new one in and see what that one goes like, you know. So we're always, you know, trying to give the audience what they want, really, you know, their favorite songs.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Nice. When did you first hear of the term new wave of British heavy metal, Biff? Was that back in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s?
Yeah, it was in a newspaper. You know, it was in a music magazine. Somebody said it, you know. One of the early journalists, young journalists from that time, he mentioned it. Because people were a bit confused because they couldn't really differentiate between sort of, you know, the big bands of the 70s, you know, who were heavy metal, you know, like Sabbath and a lot of the bands of the 70s. So I suppose because, you know, this all happened really in 1980, they just brought this name out just to let people know that we were a new style of metal music. You know, that's it, really. That's what it was all about. You know?
Very cool that you were there in person throughout all those changes going from the Led Zeppelins to the new wave of British heavy metal. And what do you see different now in 2024, Biff? Of course, the internet. How do you see the music business, I guess, nowadays compared to the
Andy? Well, a lot of it now is down to social media, I suppose. You know, that's the new, you know, there are still magazines and luckily there's already also, there's still a lot of radio stations that play music like ours, but a lot of it's social media now. You know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, Twitter. We don't really do TikTok. We don't really have anything to do with TikTok.
Yeah.
But you know, most of it's through YouTube or Facebook, you know, Instagram. So, you know, we're quite on it, really. You know, we have to keep posting things and keeping people interested, you know, that's what it's all about, really. So we're just the same as every other band, you know, whether it be Saxon, you know, Judas Priest, Ed Sheeran, you know,
right.
U2. They're all on social media, and you have to be, you know.
Everybody's out there, yep. Wheels.
Everybody's out there, so it's no good if you're not out there, you know.
Right, true. Would you say Wheels of Steel is your most successful record, the one that brought you attention, or at what point do you think you got all this?
I think Wheels of Steel brought the attention, yeah. All around the world, I think. You know, it was a big album in Japan. It was a big album in Australia. All around the world, really. I think it was a well-known album in America. I think a lot of bands, you know, that were around knew Wheels of Steel. A bit of a cult band, probably as were Maiden back in the, you yeah. know, the early 80s. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of bands who report those as their influence of, like, your Metallica's and the Pantera's and the Motley Crue's, you know, loads of other bands would probably have had a copy of Wheels of Steel, you know.
That's true. All these bands are point the finger at you guys as an influence.
Yeah. I'm sure Wheels of Steel was the first, you know, the first time they heard it. Although we had an album out before that, just called Saxon, you know, there were some pretty heavy tracks on that one as well. So, you know, but if you listen to people that quote us in interviews, they're more or less saying that things like Motorcycle Man and Heroes of Thunder, you know, were massive influences on them.
Yeah, I saw you perform on stage with Metallica on their 30th anniversary concert in San Francisco back, I think it was 2011. How was that experience for you?
Yeah. That was good fun. I think I was pretty drunk, actually. But, yeah, it was great fun, you know, to sing Motorcycle Man. I mean, Metallica have never covered a Saxon song So right. A little bit strange, because it was really, you know, it was only me did a song that wasn't covered by Metallica, but it was great, you know. I mean, and you know, Metallica, a massive fan of Attack, and you know, we influenced them. And to ask me to go over there to sing a song, you know, like Mortal Self of Man, is brilliant, really. So yeah, it was a great. Well, I was happy, you know, to fly over there.
Do you think new bands nowadays need a record label to make it out there, or do you think it's all possible through social media with no label?
Well, it has been proved possible without a label. I mean, it has happened. But it's quite difficult to do everything else without an agent and stuff like that, though. You know what I mean? If you get 5 million views on YouTube or something, then Obviously you can tour, but you have to have somebody to put that tour together. You can't just jump in a Volkswagen van and go, come on, let's tour.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are certain aspects of it that you do need other people's help. You have to have a team, you know. You have to have a great team, because you can't do everything yourself. This is one of the things, you know. At some point, you have to have somebody who steps in to help you. And that's where, you know, a management or an agent comes in, really. But we like our record company, you know, we like to support them, and you know, they do a great job for us, especially, you know, over here in UK and Europe. So you know, we're making inroads into America. With every album we release, we're getting bigger and bigger. So you know, it's really good. You know, they do a great job.
Wow. What's next on your agenda, Biff, here after all these interviews? What's on your plan here?
Well, you know, I'm doing interviews every day. You know, America's walking up now, so I'm doing a lot of interviews with you know, US radios, US podcasting, general sort of media thing. So yeah, I mean, the album's getting noticed, so I'll just keep doing interviews until I stop, really. But we'll probably go a couple more weeks and then relax a bit before just start. You know, we start rehearsing for the tour early March. So, you know, about 4 weeks now, we'll be preparing for the tour. So that'll be good.
Would you like to send a message to your fans listening, friends and fans listening to the podcast?
Yeah, check out Hellfire and Damnation. It's a monster album. Check it out. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to like it. We put a lot of love and attitude into this album. So it's there for you to listen to and to get. You know, so yeah, we'll see you all in April, in the spring. So it's going to be great. We'll see you all then.
Absolutely. Hellfire and Damnation, 10 out of 10. In my opinion, you guys should pick it up. And thank you, Biff. Thank you for your time.
10
appreciate
out of 10.
It.
You can't do better than that, can you?
Yes, sir. The best. You guys are the best. I appreciate your time, Biff.
Thank you very much.
Hellfire and Damnation is the true metal, a rock metal title for an album. And as I said before, they outdid themselves. I truly, truly recommend this album as any other Saxon album, but there's something truly special about this record, I tell you. You guys have to check it out, no doubt. Thank you, Mr. Biff Byford, frontman, and the only original guy left from the 70s original lineup of Saxon. And there you go. He talks to us about the band and how he feels about the music business in 2024 compared to back in the day, right? So anyways, thank you, Mr. Byford. Thank you all for listening, downloading, and sharing that metal interview podcast, the best rock metal podcast on the globe. And anyways, don't forget to keep it metal.
That metal interview.